So many faces, so few names. I came down here not knowing what to expect. He left out a little bit of his experience at the Baker house. He left out the fact that he and his sweet wife were humbled enough and gracious enough to sleep on bunk beds that night. But he remembered. I, like these other brethren, had something on my mind, something I've studied for weeks. I got that letter from Brother Hewlin and got it from Brother John Baker. And by the way, we're no relation, and I don't think I'm related to any of the Bakers in this area at all. All of mine come from Kansas and Missouri, and, well, somehow we're related, but I can't find a record of it. But came down here with something on my mind, and those things are gone. And what is on my mind, I found again and again and again and again in what these brethren taught and what they preached. And what I saw whenever I came to this building, the first thing I saw whenever I stepped out of the truck, and the Lord being our helper, I might be able to tell you a little bit about what I saw, was a little child. And I heard these men mention it again and again, these little children that are here. And to watch that young man, Brother Zach, wherever you are, I appreciate you leading song for us. What I got to thinking about was our inheritance. What we're inheriting. What you brethren down here have inherited. You got it. The scriptures tell me that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whenever He came to this world, He came to this world and He and John the Baptist set up one church. And you got it. And it's here in McMahon, Texas. I hope and pray it's in Borger, Texas. I hope and pray it's in Amarillo. I hope and pray it's in Houston. But brethren, you've got it here. He's right, I am a musician. I've played in a lot of different groups, been to a lot of different concerts and shows. My favorite music outside this music that we're singing is jazz music. I like trumpets, I like horns. It seems like every tape I have that's not singing has a horn in it of some kind. I think one of these days I won't be able to hear, because at least high pitches, because I sure like trumpets and those type of things. But I want to tell you about my experience last night. I've been Old Baptist all my life. I've been to so many scenes you wouldn't believe. My family is the Barringtons and the Manners, and you wouldn't believe the scenes we had whenever the Barringtons and the Manners and the Basses got together to sing. It was wonderful. The Child of Grace, I've never heard singing like that I've heard while I was here. And I went to bed last night, and those girls that stayed with us said I snored last night. I don't remember that. But what I heard whenever I laid my head on that pillow was I heard those songs of glory like I've never heard them before. Never heard them before. I've been Old Baptist all my life. I don't know how many times we went to Uncle Paul's house to sing. And I didn't hear just ringing in my ears. I heard those melodies. I heard those words. I heard those songs. And thank you, Brother Tom. I'm taking that book home with me. Homeward Bound. I've got to have it. I'm taking it home with me. If anybody saw me take it out to the truck, I'm not stealing it. He gave me permission to take it. So let's get to the scriptures, and I hope the Lord will bless us. And Brother Mark, it'll be a privilege. I've known Brother Mark now for 4 weeks. Got to share the stand with him 4 weeks ago. It was a blessing then, and I hope it'll be a blessing now. The thoughts that came to my mind are this inheritance. So look at what Peter said in 1 Peter, and we can just start right there in the first verse. I want to paraphrase just a little bit because I've heard these men talk. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Texas, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, Arkansas, Louisiana. My greeting is the same to you as it was here. To the elect, His church, His bride.
Amen.
According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you.
Yeah.
Grace! And I hope it never stops until He comes again. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. I've been here today and yesterday. I have been begotten again to a lively hope.
Amen. Amen.
A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. You have it here.
Amen. Right here.
Thank the Lord for it every day, every time you have the opportunity. Thank Him for it, for the inheritance that you have. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. I had a scripture come to my mind, and brethren, I haven't studied this. This is something that I hope is of the leading of the Lord. But I had a scripture come to my mind, and I had to go look it up. Because whenever these men got to preaching and they got to teaching, something that my pastor said to me in my ordination, he said that I've learned just enough about the Scriptures to know I don't know nothing. And whenever I came here and I listened to you brethren preach, I don't know nothing. So I hope that the Lord will bless what I have to say. You have been given an inheritance. It's a wonderful inheritance. But I want to tell you who we are, these ministers here. There's a sign out there that says there were two men, Elder Ellis, and the other one was Elder Daniels. Those two men planted this church. I want to tell you who James Baker is. I want to tell you about who these other men are. If you look with me in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, here the Apostle Paul is telling us, and he tells us, whenever he starts talking to us about feeding the brethren, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Let me tell you, you people here, y'all are able to bear the meat. These brethren have given you an inheritance. A rich inheritance, rich in His mercy and rich in His glory. And the Apostle Paul was telling them, he was telling them they couldn't take it. You've got it here. But who are these men? Look in verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. The Apostle Paul says, I have planted. Elder Ellis and Elder Daniels planted this church. There's a list of men out there who have ministered to this church throughout the years. Here's the one that's doing it now. But who are these men? Who is J.R. Hayner? Who is Pat Young? Who is Clifford Goins? Who is James Baker? Who is the Apostle Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave every man. He says, I have planted. Apollos watered. This man's been doing a lot of watering. I'm telling you, from the experience I've had while I'm here, this man's been doing some watering. But child of grace, understand, everything that this man has done and every man that has preceded him and those that have preceded him in death, those men, nothing. And I will do nothing if the Lord does not give the increase.
Amen.
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 And brethren, y'all have been given the increase. I appreciate what y'all said to me that I'm at home. This is a home away from home, brother.
Yeah.
Brother Healing.
That's good.
I feel comfortable here. But I'm also comfortable to say, and I think these brethren will join with me, I'm just a water boy. That's all I am. That's all they are. We're just water boys. And if the Lord doesn't give the increase, there's no good in it. The Lord's given the increase to the McMahon Church, and He's given the increase, and I'm seeing it, and I feel it, and I've experienced it, and it's been a great blessing to me. And I promise you, whenever I go back home, I will be like the Apostle Paul, and I will thank my God upon every remembrance of you for the gifts that you have given me, the grace that's been afforded me, and the measure of faith that I have seen in every one of you and heard from the stand. I'll thank my God every time I think about every one of you. But what's on my mind is, what does God think about us and that inheritance? What does God think about us? So I want to go back to the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. I love studying the Old Testament because it's such a good example about how I ought to live my life. Those people throughout time, all of us throughout time, have been afforded the mercies and grace of God. And somehow, some way, we failed. Somehow, some way, we turned our back on Him. And somehow, some way, He found a way to bring us back. He brought us back. But turn with me, if you will, to the book of Samuel in the second chapter. And I want to tell you a little bit of a story. I'm not going to get into the whole story. You all go read it. You need to read it. It's good study. It's good reading. Remember your inheritance. In that second chapter, there Hannah's praying. And she's praying that the Lord might send her a son because she's barren. She hasn't had a son. She's barren. She doesn't have a child. And her prayer is, and she made a vow, that if the Lord would send her a son, would send her a child, that she would raise that child up in the admonition of the Lord. That she would raise that child up all the days of his life. He would serve the Lord. It's in there. Go read it. I'm not quoting it exactly. Go read that story. It's a wonderful story. And at that time, Eli was the priest. And Eli had two sons. And he begged his sons not to forsake the church, not to forsake the Lord's people. He was told not to let those boys get away with doing what they ought not do. The Lord told him that he ought to bridle those boys, that he ought to do something about it, and he didn't. He didn't do it. And then God took him away from that. That's the story. But look there in the 29th verse of the second chapter. Here, we're being told a great lesson for us, for our sins, for us, for our people, for us, for His people. He says, "Wherefore keep ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation." He said, "And honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all offerings of Israel, my people." He says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith," and here's my text, "but now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor." Did you catch that? Talk about a paradox. "For them that honor me, I will honor." Wait a minute, Brother James. The Scriptures tell us that all of our righteousness is filthy rags. Psalm 14 tells us that God looked down through time, and what did He see? Nothing good. Nothing good. And right here it says, "Be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor." And then it says, and here's where most of us fit most of the time, "And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." There's a lot of people out there that the Lord's blessing. He blesses His people wherever they are. You know what the Scriptures say? The Scriptures say, "I have never," David said this in the Psalms, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." When was the last time you saw one of the Lord's people, one of His people, doing without? When was the last time you were hungry and you didn't have anything to eat? I promise you it didn't happen. Because He's always taking care of us, and He always will take care of us. He promised He'll take care of us. So my question to you is, what does God think of you? Is He honoring you? Or does He lightly esteem you? Which is it? Yes, I believe in works. Of course I believe in works. But child of grace, I hope that I can join with this church and join in the evidences that I've heard in saying that I believe like the old Baptists believe, that I believe in good works. I believe in good works, but I believe it different from the world. I believe in doing good works because I already have something from God, not in order to try to pry something out of Him.
Amen.
We've been given this inheritance. It's been given to us. It's a wonderful gift that's been given to us. And we ought to cherish it. We ought to hold it up, and we ought to honor Him in everything that we do. And if we honor Him, He'll honor us. That's what the Scriptures say.
Yeah.
That's Old Testament. Brother James, that's Old Testament. That's passed away. I want to see it in the New. Show me something new. Well, I'm sorry. If you come all the way up to border Texas, you're going to hear the same old preaching whenever you get up there, because there's nothing new. I believe what's in the Scriptures, and I believe what the Scriptures teach. Yeah, I believe it. And whenever I'm asked about it, I tell people that I believe everything that's in it from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. Do I understand it all? Good grief, no. No. I made the mistake years ago whenever I started studying the Scriptures. I think I might have been 17, 18 years old. I was asked by my pastor, "What are you studying?" I said, "The book of Revelation." He said, "Do you understand it?" I said, "Yeah." What a mistake. The more I read this book, the further the distance gets between me and God. Now don't get the wrong idea. I'm not saying that the further I get from Him, that means that He gets greater and greater and greater, and I get smaller and smaller and smaller. Who am I that God might have found favor with me? You're right. I married a preacher's daughter. My wife grew up in that house, being toted all over the country. She thought she was marrying a drummer. She thought she was marrying somebody wild. She thought she was getting away from all of that. Talk about a fight. I got it at my house. We bonded so many different ways, so many different wonderful ways, the way that husbands and wives do. But you'll never be able to experience, and you preachers can join with me if your wives support you the way mine does. You'll never experience what I've experienced until that moment came whenever we bonded spiritually about what this book is about.
That's right.
And about what my duty is and about what my responsibilities are. We bonded spiritually. And you're right, Brother Hill, and it was by the grace of God that I am what I am. The grace of God. So let's see New Testament. I'll show you New Testament. Look in the 12th chapter of John. And look at what Christ Himself, Christ is the one doing the speaking here, not John. Christ is telling us this. Look in the 26th verse, 12th chapter of John. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Y'all are serving the church of the living God. Y'all are serving the true church of the living God. The church. There's only one church. I love so many of those people out there. I have so many friends that are out there that there's no doubt in my mind I'll see them whenever time is no more. And I wish they could have heard the singing I heard while I was here. I wish they could have heard the preaching that I heard while I was here. They don't want any part of it. I'm sorry for them, because they're missing out on so much.
Yeah.
So much. This inheritance that we have been given is a perfect inheritance. So as I looked out and I saw these children, I kind of wondered, what are we leaving to them? What am I leaving to my children? Did I raise them up in the admonition of the Lord? I hope I did. A little more of my experience. I know my sister's going to sit back there and cry. I hope I don't. For you parents who've lost a child because they grew up and moved away, that just happened to me 2 weeks ago. My oldest son shipped out, went into the military. He wanted to do it, loved it, looked forward to it. I miss him. Had no idea what a hole that put in my heart.
sat in my study and cried because I begged my wife to forgive me because I ever whooped that boy. It broke my heart that I ever spanked that child. And what did she say to me? You spanked him because you loved him. He is what he is because you spanked him. God loves his people and he'll spank us again and again. Because we need it. Because he loves us. We're seeing a little of it. But I turned to the scripture that says to let our conversation, that was quoted today, I was sitting out there rejoicing, that let our conversations be of a gospel manner whenever we start talking about the brethren. Whenever we start talking about one another. Are we serving the Lord? Are we serving the Father? Are we serving the Son? And here's the question that he asked. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came for that purpose. He came to save his people from their sins. The world will change it. That boy got a little book whenever he got enlisted into the service. Little Gideon's Bible. I turned to that Bible and I turned to Luke and I read in Luke, and my Bible tells me, the King James Version of the Bible, the version of the Bible that the true church ought to be studying after. What was that story? I heard somebody saying about somebody was going to tear up or somebody, there was a new international version somewhere floating around. You brethren know what the story was. We ought to be studying after this. But that little Gideon's Bible, I looked it up in Luke 16. What the scriptures say here is that he came to seek and to save them that which were lost. He did that. That little book said he came to seek to save them that which were lost. They took out Billy, one word. Just one word. And all of a sudden, all of this elective work, all of the redemptive work, all of that work that was done before the foundation of the world, all of that work that was prophesied became null and void because it became a work that you've got to do something in order to find that eternal salvation. Just one little word. How important is it that we study what's in here? If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall I also my servant be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor. Is the Father honoring you? I think he's honoring this church.
Amen.
I think he's honoring this area. And I think he's honoring the people that are here. And nobody brainwashed me into believing it. I felt it over there. I feel it. And I know whenever I go put my head on the pillow tonight, I'll hear these same songs ringing in my ears. Ringing in your ears. And ringing in your heart. I don't think, Brother Hewlin, that a man who tries to stand before the Lord's people ought to. It's my opinion. But I don't think, and I've heard it, I think it's a wonderful example. You brethren, Lord bless you. Every man that was up here in some way spoke on the resurrection. Every time somebody said something about the resurrection, and I think we ought to preach on that every time. Every time we get into the stand. And that's my hope. It ought to be your hope. If it's not your hope, lay hold to it. These are wonderful meetings. And Brother Owen, you're not going to catch me apologizing for saying something that I didn't say or that somebody else has said, because none of these people have heard me save four or five. So I will say this, and I'll try to get out of Brother Mark's way. The resurrection. How great a hope is that? If in this life only we have hope, this life only... If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are, of all men, most miserable. Most miserable. Lay hand to that hope. That's part of this inheritance that's been given to us. Teach your children about that's to come. Teach them that it's not a shame and there's nothing to be afraid of in death.
Amen.
Death is coming. I look out in here and I don't know when the Lord will afford us the opportunity to come back. There's some older folks here. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I hope it's your hope. But if I do come back 15, 20, 25 years from now,
Most of y'all that are older, that are 50, 55, 60, y'all are probably going to be gone. And if the Lord tarries, and we go and we come back in another 100 years, all of us are going to be gone. What will we have left behind? What will we have left in our place? What will the children have learned from us? Will they have learned of this perfect inheritance? Will they have learned about that inheritance that was given to us before the foundation of the world? It's my prayer that they'll have that same thing. But we have to remember that there's a time coming, and the world won't have it, but I'll have it because it's sweet to my taste. Look in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and I never have given this book any justice at all, and I never will. Everyone here is different. All these children are different. Every single one of us is different. And in the 40th verse, we hear the Apostle Paul say, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one. And the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, and one differeth from another star in glory. We're all different. So also is the resurrection of the dead. This body. This body. This body. Your body. It. This body. It. Is sown. It's going to be sown. And if the Lord tarries, we're all going to end up in little cemeteries like this. I said, I walked out in that cemetery this afternoon and prayed and meditated and looked at the names. It was kind of strange to look down and see my name on some of those tombstones. Don't get that. Don't see that where I'm coming from. I don't see it. And I kept thinking about those ministers, those old Baptist ministers. Will they take a look at this church whenever Christ comes in the air and smile briefly and then look at Him? I don't know. I think they'll probably just have their eyes on Him. All the work that they did while they were here might have been good work. They left us a good inheritance. But I think whenever they come out of that grave, their eyes are going to be on Him. Are you looking for that day whenever you might be able to look on Him? You ought to be looking for that day. It ought to be coming. It ought to be something that's special to you. It ought to be something that you lay hold to. It's your hope. Why is it that the world out there won't have it? It's a sweet promise to us that this inheritance that's been given to us is something we ought to look forward to. Elder Payne said, how sweet to die. We're the only people out there that will say that. And mean it, Brother Hewlett, with joy in our hearts, looking forward to that moment, because we know at that moment of death, the Lord will reveal to that person His grace. That Lord, at that moment in time, will give them dying grace to be able to endure that death. And no matter how painful the suffering, no matter how this world has treated them, no matter how much pain they had to endure, no matter how much medication they're on, I promise you at that moment of death will be sweet to them, because He gives them His grace to be able to sustain that moment. And this body, this body will be sown in corruption. It will be raised in incorruption. Are you looking forward to it? You need to be looking forward to it. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Will we have our eyes on Him? Yes! Yes, I say 1,000 times yes, we'll have our eyes on Him. Never to take our eyes off the Son ever again. That's my hope. I hope we look for it. I hope we continue to look for it. We're all going to be changed. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're going to be changed. Those people that are out there are going to be changed. So where is the victory? I've got to close. I've got to get out of Brother Mark's way. Where is the victory in death? People say death is so final. Child of grace, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. I told that son when I said goodbye to him, I gave him a Bible. I said, son, if you don't remember anything I said, you're a pilgrim in this lifetime. You're a sojourner while you're here.
You're a pioneer out there on your own. You're going to come in contact with all kinds of unscrupulous people. Never forget, this is your road map. This book will save you out there while you're in time. The gospel of Jesus Christ will hold you up whenever nothing else will. Pray to the Father.
Amen, brother.
Pray to the Father that He might show you His light. I haven't seen it yet. I got a call from my wife. I want to read it to you. It's a great testimony to that kid. And y'all forgive me if I've gotten a little personal on this, because there's a lot of glory in it. That kid wrote in his letter to his mother, he quoted the first chapter of the book of Philippians, verse 6. Started with verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, which He hath begun, a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that the Lord has performed a good work in you. The evidence is there. Child of grace, I'll take it back home with me. You have a good report with me. And I'm just a little fish in a big pond. I'm just a water boy. I'm nobody. I'm a little fish in a big pond. I hope and pray the next time that I meet you, that I'll find you in the same place that I found you here, singing those same old songs, singing those same praises, and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. There's just one church. But if I don't see you, and here's what that handful's heard from me, if I don't see you, I hope to see you in the morning. Did you catch that?
Amen.
And if you're not looking for Him, it's time you start. Tomorrow morning, when you get up, whenever you get out of your bed, do like I do, and step to that window and open it up and say, "Is today the day, Lord?" Look for Him. And if it's not, say that prayer that you say and go on about your business. Serving the Lord. Serving Him. And He will honor you. He will not lightly esteem you.
Amen.
Serving the Lord in everything that you do. Yes, I believe in good works. But I believe because the Lord's people have been given something. That's why they do them. Not in order to try to get something out of Him.
Right.
May the Lord continue to bless you, Brother Hewlin. Bless this little church.
Bless you.
And you come see us in Borger anytime you can. Brother Mark, come preach for us. Lord bless you.
Amen.